The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And welcome back once again. God said to Abram, "Fear not. I am your shield. I will make your reward very great." Once upon a time, God made a covenant with Abraham, and he promised he would make his reward very great, that he would make him the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky. And this God promised to Abraham at the age of 75. And now in our first reading, 25 years have gone by, and Abraham is still waiting. And he's concerned. You know, he was already advanced in years when God made his promise, and he's not getting any younger. And this land that he was promised, well, he just found out that people are already living there. So Abraham's concerned. What seemed improbable when God promised it now seems downright impossible. And God has to reassure Abraham. He says, "Abraham, I'm God. You can trust me. What I say is trustworthy." How often do you feel like Abraham? You pray, you hope, you trust. And the years roll by, and nothing ever seems to change. How often do you feel like Abraham? Don't worry, there's nothing wrong with you. And you're not alone. In fact, part of the reason why the story of Abraham is recounted in the book of Genesis in such painstaking detail is that we all need to hear this story. That we're all Abraham, and that we all need to learn how to wrestle in mature faith with a God who is of necessity mysterious. A woman once came up to me. She said, "Why is God so mysterious?" I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You know, it's so hard to figure out. I mean, come on, we say that God loves us so very much. Don't you think if God loved us as much as we say, that he could figure out a way to let us know what he wants and to communicate everything without all the mystery? Why is God so mysterious?" I tried my best to answer her, and my answer went something like this. God is of necessity mysterious to us, because God is infinite and we are not. You know, it's like if you try to communicate your intentions to a house pet. Imagine you got a dog, imagine you got a cat. And you try to share whatever it is that you want to share, whatever it is you're trying to communicate. It's not always going to go very well. Why? Well, because you're so much higher a creature and your thoughts are so much higher that you know, it's difficult to communicate with a house pet. Well, there's a finite difference between you and a dog, or you and a cat, or you and a hamster. But there's an infinite difference between ourselves and God. And in spite of that, God is still trustworthy. That's actually part of the reason why we heard this mysterious ritual here in the first reading, in which Abraham takes a goat and a ram and a heifer, and he cuts the poor animals in two, and then God passes through the two halves of those poor animals, appearing as a flame of a fire. Very strange ritual, but it wouldn't have been strange to Abraham. That was actually really common in Abraham's time and in his place. This is what would happen. Two tribes, let's just say, they wanted to make a pact with each other. This is how they would seal their pact. They would take an animal, and they would cut that poor animal in half, and then they would walk through the two halves, each of them would, as if to say, if either of us breaks our word, may what happened to that poor animal happen to us. Well, in Abraham's case, only God passes between the two halves. Abraham does not pass between the two halves. As if to say, God's promise is trustworthy, it's unilateral, it's unmerited, and it's guaranteed by God himself. There's actually a word in Hebrew for this. It's senekah. You ever hear any Old Testament readings and God says, for the sake of my holy name, I'll do this. For the sake of my holy name, I'll do that. The word that he's using is senekah. And he says, I owe it to myself to keep my word. Why? Because there is no higher authority by which anyone can swear. You may not need a covenant ceremony like Abraham. That's probably not terribly important to you. But it is important to us to learn how to wrestle with God's mystery. It's part of what mature faith means. I hope you already know that things don't happen in our time, things happen in God's time. I hope you already know that things don't happen in our way, they happen in God's way. I hope you already know that prayer is not a wish upon a star, and God is not a genie in a lamp granting wishes. Right? I hope you already know that, although it never hurts to be reminded. The lesson we need to take away from the story of Abraham is that faith is not passive. Faith is active. When you say you believe in God, it's not like you're sitting back waiting for God to act, like you're a potted plant waiting to do photosynthesis, right? Faith is active. You do what you can, when you can, all day long, and when there's nothing invisible for you to possibly do, you offer up a prayer in your heart and you say, Lord, I still believe. Lord, I still trust, in spite of how things appear. In spite of how things appear. St. Paul once said that God makes all things work for the good of those who love him, and he will, even the mystery, even the delay. Let's believe like Abraham did and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. St. Irenaeus, pray for us.